Inside Show is what you're listening to. It's just getting underway. An entire week that we get to spend with you. Normally, Tiger Baseball takes up at least one afternoon of our week together. But I guess, you know, they get the night off tonight. And then it's evening games for the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to look forward to spending time with me. Or not. Who knows? But you can also look forward to spending time with the one, the only, the guy that's producing the show, because we told him to. That is
Michael Loudon.
Yep, he's here. He's ready to go, and we're going to have some great times with you today. A little bit later, we got some movie tickets to give away. You know, that new Transformers movie is out. Yes, the fourth in the Transformers trilogy.
Well, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, they said the third one was going to be the last one, and then they said, oh, nope, there's a fourth one.
How many times did they say that this one's going to be the last one, but they're like, nope, we're going to make another one instead?
Well, actually, my understanding is this is a new trilogy, as it were.
Because Shia LaBeouf is not in this one?
Which might be a better thing. I don't know. I don't know. Just watching him doing that, stop. It's like, what am I watching, Jeff Goldblum or something? I don't know.
Yes.
Anyway, we've got a couple of tickets for Transformers, and if you'd like to see, I imagine that on the IMAX screen. Wow.
Oh, man.
Well, I got a couple of tickets for you, so a little bit later in the program, we're going to be giving those away, and you get the opportunity to do that. All sorts of things to talk about, and we will do that, but I'm going to do something a little different. Normally, I talk about the video of the day, and then we move on, but the video of the day today is one of these that I just found captivating as could be. This particular video, I discovered this last week. This is the video. It's called Rescuing Riley. And this particular video, I would describe it to you, but words would escape me. It just would. I mean, this is a 13-minute video. And normally, you know, I'm like you. You get on YouTube, you see 13 minutes. Okay, I don't know if I want to watch that. I watched this thing beginning to end. I mean, that's how captivating it was. And you want to call captivating, as of right now, we're looking at 2.2 million views for this video. So apparently, I'm not alone in this. Apparently, people love this thing. So we've got that for you. It is in our blog section at WKZO.com. It's right below the news area in the blogs. You can just find it there and watch that. But I encourage you not to watch it right now, because what we're going to get the opportunity to do is talk with the man that not only took the video and is responsible for it, but responsible for the content of it. And let me tell you what, it's a story you're going to want to hear. It's the story of a man that found a dog at the bottom of this canyon. I'm not going to do it any justice, so we've got him on here. Zach Anderig has joined us. Zach, welcome to the program. Glad that you're with us today.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Now, Zach, tell us a little bit of the story. I mean, this all started, you were on vacation and were doing something that you love to do. Take it from there.
Sure. My wife and I had started a business up in Salt Lake City from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 9 months into it. And anyone who's ever been involved in a startup knows just how stressful and challenging that is. And my escape is out in the wild. So I went down to northern Arizona. And I did what's called canyoneering, which is where you go and explore a slot canyon, much like what was featured in the movie 127 Hours with James Franco.
Mm-hmm.
So I was probably an hour and a half into this canyon, and I had done multiple rappels and had been doing some technical climbing. It was not an easy canyon, and I was about 350 feet below the surface when I decided, you know, I think I'm going to call it a day. I've been at this for a while. I'm just going to go to the next drop, and I'm going to just see what it looks like and then turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And as fate would have it, I looked over the next drop, which is about a 15-foot chute down into a pothole, and I saw a small black creature pacing in circles and proceeded to check in with myself and see if I was hallucinating or what was going on.
Mm. So you discovered this was a puppy then?
It was. It took me a good 30 seconds of just looking at him and processing what I was seeing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I came to the conclusion I was looking at a little puppy who was in absolutely horrendous condition.
Now, when you talk about horrendous condition, one thing that you've talked about, and in the video you make mention of this, that it's clear that somebody left him in this canyon, pocket, pothole, whatever you call it. It seems as if somebody left him there, but he wasn't treated very well based on what was found, was he?
At the time, obviously, I wasn't aware of this, but later we would come to find out that he had been shot at with a shotgun. And someone had used bird shot, which is really small little BBs. Mm-hmm. And he had three of those BBs embedded in his skin. Mm. But this has actually kind of caused a bit of controversy on the YouTube comments. People are saying, oh, come on, no one would go through that trouble to put that dog there, which I agree. I completely agree. The thing is, I was there. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who did the rappels, one of which was 25 feet. It was overhanging. And I saw what that dog would have had to have gone through, if he had done that on his own, and it would have been physically impossible. Mm. So in the video, I was just basically thinking out loud because I needed to just kind of vent what was in my head.
Process it, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just said, you know what? I think, the more I think about this, without any broken bones or without any serious injuries, there's only one possible way he could have gotten here, and that is for someone to have brought him and, lowered him over those drops and ultimately put him here.
We're talking with Zach Anderegg. You are an author. I do want to get to that a little bit later because you've written a book about this and what it's caused you to come to the conclusion of. And we will definitely get to that in a minute. But, Zach, I wanted to have you go from there. I mean, obviously you said you were about to wrap up your day, but you didn't do that, did you?
Well, no. When I saw the dog, it completely changed every part of that day. When I was looking at him, I actually didn't have any equipment with me because a section just prior to that was fairly technical. So I took off my pack and I just went, without any gear up mm-hmm. to that drop. So I had to go back and recover my gear, and I set up a rope and I lowered myself down to him. And at that point, he was just totally finished, which he was already, but he was laying on the ground just kind of staring off into space. I honestly don't even think he could see me. I think I was just like a shadow to him. Mm-hmm. And I took out some water, and I tried pouring some water by his mouth, and there was absolutely there was no reaction whatsoever. So I poured some water on his paw, and for some reason that registered with him, and he kind of dragged his paw over to his mouth, and he started licking his paw. And what broke my heart even more was just that small little bit of water that he was lapping up from his paw. His stomach was gurgling from that. Mm. So, I mean, this dog's condition was just extraordinarily dire.
Wow.
So at that point, I committed that my vacation at that point turned into, I'm going to get this dog out of here. And I systematically went about doing that.
So you now in the video, we see that you brought the dog some food and that kind of thing. So he was able to eat a little bit and get strength, not a lot, but a little.
Well, so the way that worked is when I was giving him the water, I didn't have any. Filming what I was doing was the last thing on my mind. So I gave him the water. I climbed out. I then backtracked my way all the way back out of the canyon. Got on my ATV, and I drove about a half an hour to the nearest place that I could find, and I picked up the bowls and the food, both wet and dry, that you end up seeing in the video.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And rather than climb all the way back through that canyon, I positioned my ATV where I thought would be directly above him, and I got very lucky. I actually nailed it, and I rappelled down, and about 30 feet off to the side was the hole, and I went back in the hole, positioned the bowls for him with food, water, and then I put a blue blanket on the ground for him. And then at that point, it occurred to me, once I felt like I had done something to stabilize his situation, then I pulled out my camera and started filming, really for my wife. Mm-hmm. That's as far as I thought this would ever go. And I started filming to show her because I had already called her and told her what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, my understanding is you, at that point, started to put together kind of a plan to get him out of there, and that took you into the next day, right?
I did. I mean, obviously, I'm down in there with this dog, and I want nothing more than to throw him in my backpack and climb out with him, but that would have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
He was so delicate, and stuffing him in a backpack and, you know, having his head stick out the top, while it would have been cute and felt like the obvious thing to do, it would have killed him. He would have suffocated just being in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I climbed out, and I went back to Page, Arizona, and I went to initially I went to the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained my situation. I said, you know, I'm not really expecting you guys to come out with a truck, but any thoughts on helping, you know, helping me with this or anything? And they just, you know, they're not equipped to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that makes sense.
Sure.
So he said, you know what, why don't you go to the vet and see if you can get a cat carrier or something to pull him out with. So I went over, and lucky for me, Sunday evening, the cleaning lady was at the Page Animal Hospital, and she was very helpful to me. She gave me a cat carrier.
Mm.
And that night, I went, got a room in a motel, and I just went into problem-solving mode. And I thought of every possible scenario that I might have to deal with, and I made a contingency for it, and tried as best as I could to get some sleep that night, and I went and I got him the next day.
Okay, so... So you get this dog. He's not in great shape. Obviously, he needed to be nursed back to health. How long of a process was that?
That's kind of a difficult question to answer because it was, you know, there were stages.
Okay.
When I got him to the vet, it was probably 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And they opened, you know, they cracked open the case. And there was this dog that I, for the first time, I really got to see him in good light. And it was just... it was horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And they lifted him out and put him on the table, and they tried shaving his paw and doing an IV, and they really had trouble even getting a vein.
Mm.
And the vet walked in, and first thing out of his mouth was, wow, what a pitiful sight.
Mm.
And that kind of framed for me how bad of a condition he was in, because they're used to seeing this kind of stuff down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this was getting a bit hard and taxing on me emotionally at this point. So I said, you know, do you guys got it at this point? And they said, yes. And as I was walking out, I said, is he going to make it? And they said, you know, I don't even know that I'd give him a 50% chance at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you come back tomorrow and check on him?
Okay.
That's kind of how, you know, phase one ended, where I got him out and then handed him off to the professionals.
Okay. We're speaking with Zach Anderegg. He's... the guy that took the viral video rescuing Riley. This thing, this has got to be just an absolutely strange experience for you. 2.2 million people have seen this video, and these views have happened just in the last week or two, haven't they?
The majority of them, yeah. To say it's weird, yeah, that's one way to say it. Honestly, from the beginning, this entire process has been kind of a head trip for me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why the book ended up getting written, because I just felt compelled to try and get this out of me and on the paper, because from the beginning it just has been an extremely emotionally I guess trying experience, or
mm-hmm.
just a lot of emotions have surrounded this whole experience.
Sure. Now I want you to be able to talk a little bit more about that, because I know, you know, the book. Yeah, it tells the story that we just gave the basics of, but there's a little bit more to this book than that. It's called Rescuing Riley, Saving Myself, and you call it that for a reason, I'm sure.
Well, the main reason was it was a title suggested by my agent, and I thought it was a great title.
Well, there's one good reason, yeah.
No, it's funny. You know, I'm not a professional writer. I never in my life thought I would ever write a book. I'm not the one who came up with that title.
Mm-hmm.
And to be perfectly honest, I'm not the one who thought I should write a book about this. It was Riley's fans on Facebook who,
mm-hmm.
for the course of a year after the rescue, they, you know, every now and again I'd get another message, and it was, hey, you need to write a book about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And without thinking any deeper than that, I just, my gut said, you know what, there's just not enough material here to write an entire book. And that all changed one night when I had dinner with a friend of mine who is a best-selling author. And she said, you know what? I know a little bit about you. I think you ought to just sit down and start typing. talking about the rescue and see if something else just doesn't happen. And at the time, I had no clue what she meant and didn't even know what to make of it. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, by the time I got to page 3, I was not talking just about rescuing this dog, but I was talking about my past and some of the struggles that I've gone through in my own life.
If you don't mind, could you talk a little bit about some of those struggles?
Sure. And it's a little hard to condense this, but I'll try and be brief. I grew up in a bit of a dysfunctional family, and that in and of itself, you know, there's nothing unique about that. But it went to a whole different level when I started going to school. Unfortunately, I found myself on the receiving end of a tremendous amount of bullying, and I found it very difficult to make friends and to feel safe around my peers. And unfortunately, that carried through the majority of my childhood well into high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had absolutely no clue that any of this would surface when I started writing about rescuing the dog. And it just was a process that right in front of me started unfolding. And after the first day of writing, I was so taken by what was happening, I couldn't wait for the next day to come and start writing again and just see where all this went.
Okay. We're talking with Zach Andereck. Zach, I've got a break that I'm on top of, but we want to talk to you a little bit further about this. So when we continue ahead, we'll let you continue to tell your story and talk about this fascinating subject. And then we'll also try and figure out, because I know people are wondering, all right, this dog, what happened to the dog and that kind of thing? So we'll answer that question for them as well as we can continue with our time with you. Zach, appreciate you being with us, and we'll talk to you here in just another minute or two.
You're very welcome.
Keep it right here. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Continuing on, it's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. We've been having a discussion with Zach Andereck. He is the author of the book Rescuing Riley, Saving Myself, and the man that took the video that, this has gone viral. 2.2 million views of Rescuing Riley. Zach, we do need to fill in people a little bit on what happened to this dog after, obviously, he was able to be nursed back to health, but you went ahead and adopted him, didn't you?
We did. When I got him back home, he absolutely fell in love with my wife, and they became best buddies instantly. And he also bonded to my Australian cattle dog, and they're inseparable at this point. And he blends perfectly in with our family. I mean, now, I honestly can't picture not having him with us.
That's fantastic. Now, your message with the book is talking a little bit about, obviously, you went through some bullying. It's a story that we hear, it's a story that, you know, you hate to hear and that kind of thing. But basically your message is what?
I guess the message of the book would be one of trying to explain to people the importance of how we treat each other, how we treat animals, just the way we move through the world. You know, some people are in a position where they can cause harm to others, or they're in a position where they have power over other people or other animals. And I guess my book is trying to explain that when you find yourself in a position like that, don't exploit it, don't abuse it. It has real impact on those who are mistreated, be them people, be them animals. I guess in a nutshell, that would be the message of the book.
Okay, and the book is called Rescuing Riley, Saving Myself. You've gone through a ton of experiences through all of this. You lay it out in the video, and for people that are wondering about the video, I mean, we mentioned it earlier, but if you're just joining us, if you want to see this video, we've got it posted at our website today, WKZO.com. In our blog section, you'll find it there. We also have it posted on Facebook, and Zach, one thing we did for you there is we put some links to your book and to the YouTube channel that you have this on. You've also got a Facebook group that you've got there as well, so people can keep up with what's going on there. And Zach, wishing nothing but the best, and I hope that this book sells well. I hope that you get two million more views on this video because, I mean, it's captivating. So thanks for what you did, and thanks for your message. I think we all really appreciate it.
And likewise, thank you so much for having me on today. I appreciate it.
All right. His name is Zach Anderegg, Rescuing Riley, Saving Myself, the name of the book. I mean, we didn't even really begin to tell all of the story here, so I hope that you'll get the opportunity to check out the video, check out the book, and see for yourself what Zach has to say. It's one of those videos that when you watch it, you got to be ready for it. You really have to be ready for it. Have some Kleenexes handy. You know, if you're that kind of if you're a weeper, you'll need that. But to see the happy ending on this, it's just absolutely fantastic to see the way that this has come out, the way that, you know, he's adopted this dog, and, you know, they've got quite the life. And I encourage you, that Facebook group, check it out. The Facebook group is called Canyon Puppy. So do a search for that. You'll find it. I've liked it personally just to keep up with what's going on with them because, you know, I'm a bit of a dog person myself.
Mm-hmm.
But to see this, I mean, you know, your heart just melts and you go, wow. It's neat to see that there are people in the world that are willing to do this kind of thing.
Yes.
I mean, because this was not just I just found a dog wandering the neighborhood. No, he found a dog at the bottom of a canyon after 2 hours of climbing, and he decided to rescue it. It's a fantastic story.
Absolutely.
We're going to continue talking with you. Got the weather to talk about here and some stuff to talk about there as well. We'll talk with Bob Larson here in just another 10 minutes. Keep it right here. Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO 340. Glad you're with us. And, of course, this portion of the Jeremy Lawrence Show is brought to you by Heritage Christian Academy, your local pre-K through 12 school where faith turns friends into family. Just so that you've got what you need, we talked a little bit earlier about Zach Anderegg and that book that he's written and how he rescued that dog. If you want to see links to everything you need, I'm just going to make it even easier for you. Head on over to our Facebook page. Go to WKZO.com and click on the Facebook link. It's right up at the top, little Facebook F, and it takes you right over there. Basically, what you'll need to do, first of all, like the page. We'd love to have you do that. Secondly, you'll notice that our top post right now is the post on this video. And you can click there. You can check out the video for yourself. And right beneath that, we've gone ahead and posted as well the group, the Facebook group for this dog, for Riley. This is the dog that that Zach talked about in our interview a little bit earlier ago. Apparently, there's like somewhere in the neighborhood of 23,600 people that like this. And you know, think about the over 2 million people that have seen this video. It's just fantastic to see something like that and encouraging. So, you know, we want you to be able to see that. So check it out. It's at WKZO.com. Click on the Facebook link. You'll be able to go right there. All the links you need right there. Real easy to find. So hopefully you'll be able to do that. Today has been an interesting weather day, hasn't it, Michael?
Yes, it has.
It's been unusual. I don't know, but I'm assuming you probably were running in some of the rain and that kind of thing. I was out earlier coming in just about the time that the storm started to really cut loose this morning. So it's been interesting.
I unfortunately did not have a chance to run. I was working my other job this morning, so I watched it rain and it just poured.
Yes.
So when I walked to work, it was sunny, then it was pouring, and then it was dry.
Okay.
So it's definitely been a weird day.
At least you stayed dry that way.
Yes.
So, the question, will we stay dry, whether it be through storms or apparently humidity is a problem as well, will we be able to continue to stay dry? Well, to get the answer for that, I know just the guy to turn to. No, it isn't Michael. It's Bob Larson. Bob, you're with us. Welcome to the program.
I'm here, Jeremy. Hello.
Well, you know what? You're the expert on this stuff. Storms, humidity, that kind of thing. Are we going to be dealing with this for a while?
We are. We're not yet done with the rain. In fact, currently tracking some very heavy rainfall by way of thunderstorms over Gary, Indiana, passing it just within the last hour, passing south of Chicago, and advancing toward the northeast. Now, what's northeast of Gary, Indiana? If it keeps going that way, it's coming right into our territory, right into our neck of the woods.
Imagine.
Not necessarily a direct hit, but it's certainly going to move into the greater Kalamazoo region in another maybe 90 minutes or so, maybe 2 hours. And it's in an expanding area of showers. Storm started out as a fairly small but heavy storm, much larger area of rain right now, larger than it had been. Anyway,
okay.
And I suspect we're still going to be dealing with some shower-heavy thunderstorm activity here then through early this evening. That rain that we had earlier today, some of those downpours piled up to an official total of right around 3/4 of an inch, which is more rain than we had all of last week. And remember, we had the threat of rain for about 4 days in a row, and I was commenting on Friday about how it kind of underachieved because we're still way behind for the month, even though it did finally rain for a while. Nearly the type of rainfall that we were anticipating or potentially hoping for since we needed the rain. But just this morning alone, more rain than we had all of last week combined, with more rain coming tonight and at least the threat of a scattered shower thunderstorm tomorrow, perhaps into tomorrow night.
Okay, so this helps catch us up a little anyway.
It does, and that leads to my word.
All right.
The word is beneficial. It's beneficial rainfall. Now, I have to be careful, very careful when I use that. Anyone caught in the downpour this morning wouldn't be thinking, gee, this is good. And anyone that's caught in this potential next downpour or storm is not going to be thinking the same thing, particularly if it gets to be a severe storm. It's not right now. There are no watches. There are no warnings. But I can tell you the storm is strengthening, and I would not discount there being some sort of thunderstorm watch or warning as that moves northeastward toward us. And that certainly is not a beneficial thing. I'm not wishing for severe weather on anyone. But the bottom line is what I'm trying to get to is that we still need the rain.
Okay. All right. So this storm that's rolling this way is, for now, just significant in your mind.
It's heavy, but not severe.
Okay. Okay.
Right. And there's a difference.
Certainly.
In meteorologists speak, anyway. For the general public, I think severe is if it rains out your golf game. Like a 20-minute shower and you can't play. He didn't say anything about severe weather because it ruined your day. Well, severe weather to a meteorologist is a lot different. It's got to meet certain criteria, you see. There has to be a certain amount of wind, maybe hail, et cetera, et cetera. But I can tell you that this is a heavy storm, even if it's not by way of official definition severe at this point.
And I'm looking at the radar right now as we speak, and right you are. It is definitely strengthening as it heads this direction.
And it's not all by itself. If you have the radar up, you can see there are a couple of other storms southeast of there, east of there. That's part of a cluster of storms that kind of propagating this way.
Sure. Okay. Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on that.
By Wednesday, I think we dry out and the humidity comes down and it's comfortable. But from now through early tomorrow evening, it will stay humid and there'll be that on and off threat of showers and or storms.
Okay. One question, Bob, before we run. I know, you know, we just got started on a week and that kind of thing, but people are always looking to the weekend. What's the weekend going to be like? I've heard rumors that we could be in for a hot one this coming weekend.
Yeah, a couple of days back, Saturday, and of course we didn't talk Saturday, but in particular Saturday, it looked as though it could become very, and to some extent even Friday when I was here, it looked as though it would become very hot for this upcoming weekend. Long-range models have backed off on that a little bit, not to say that it's showing it to be cool, but not as hot as once seen, at least not right away. Saturday could be like mid-80s, so that's fair. That's
okay.
Certainly very warm. But by Sunday, we do have a shot at 90, so hold on to that thought as the week gets closer, as the weekend gets closer, and we'll see. We very well could be headed into some hot, steamy territory.
All right. Okay. Well, Bob, have a good rest of the day, and we'll chat at you again tomorrow.
Hey, Jeremy, try to stay dry and dodge those raindrops.
Oh, we'll do our best. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
All right, Bob Larson there with AccuWeather, keeping you in the know on what's going on out there. And we'll keep an eye on this storm. I'm watching this right now, and it is developing into something significant. Whether or not that actually hits us in the next couple of hours, we'll see. But we'll keep an eye on it as we continue ahead. Well, coming up, do you trust the government? Well, probably depends on what you're political persuasion is as to what you would say to that. But some interesting insights on that. We'll talk a little bit further about that as we continue ahead on the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. -82 degrees, seems to be getting just a little bit warmer out there. It's 82 at Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad you could be with us today. Well, do you trust your government? It's an interesting question, because for many people, you have the immediate reaction. I mean, your first reaction, I don't know that there's... That's one of those questions that doesn't necessarily bring that, I don't know. Either you do or you don't, you know. So when I asked that question just now, I know if you're listening, you probably went, yeah, I do. Or you went, are you nuts? No. It was probably one of those two extremes, I would think, anyway. And if it wasn't, you were probably close to it one way or another. Some of it has to do with, you know, it has to do with your political leanings and who is in the current offices and various things like that. To a degree. But because in America, for some reason, we have this thing about electing the opposite party to Congress as what we've got in the White House, it always makes it kind of fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I think, you know, that definitely kind of helps check things a little bit. But it's interesting, and this is a piece that I base this off of, is on epictimes.com. Michael Busler writes a piece. He says, in Obama's America, citizens distrust and often fear government. What happened? And it's a good question to ask. He starts off with a quote from Abraham Lincoln. He says, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution." And then he goes on to further note, Lincoln said, "Government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth." Now, think about this. You know, and I could just point at the current presidency, and I'll be at least a little equal opportunity by saying, you know what? There was a certain distrust that was built up, you know, when Bush was in the office to a certain degree. I think when Bill Clinton was in the office, there was a mistrust of the government and that kind of thing. Because basically, I mean, if you go clear back to the days of Clinton, here's a guy that, while he wasn't doing a horrible job, he was doing some other things in the Oval Office that some of us didn't approve of.
Extracurricular activities.
That's a nice way of putting it right there, and we'll leave it at that. Now, while George W. Bush didn't necessarily do the extracurricular activities, there were people that questioned on both sides of the aisle what the man did. Whether you were on the left and saying, all right, did we have to go to the war and do this, that, and the other? And some people on the right questioned Iraq and Afghanistan as well. There were people that were questioning, all right, Medicare spending, all right, we're increasing our spending, we're increasing deficit spending, the debt's going up, that kind of thing. There were people that questioned that. Then we get to the Obama years, and the debt's gone up even more. And you can kind of understand that people might have a little more distrust. Now, look at it this way. All right, we get headlines like this one today. And if you followed the IRS problems and that kind of thing, you know that they've announced recently that, you know what, that the emails you wanted to see from Lois Lerner, well, guess what? They're gone. So we've got a headline like this today. And this actually was published yesterday, and it says, IRS says Lerner emails lost forever, but agency had contract with file storage company Sonasoft. Interesting. Now, you know, things like that, you could start to go, okay, well, wait a minute. They had a backup service. Where are the emails? And you know we're going to dig into this at some point. You know, we're going to figure out, all right, do they actually still have the emails? Because what I understand, this company was their backup service at least through 2010, if not up through the beginning of 2011. And that was the time period that they want to get those emails. So the IRS has said, nope, sorry, I mean, her hard drive crashed and we lost all those emails. Never mind that we had a service that backed all that up. Forget all that. We lost them. Sorry.
So what did they do? Did they erase those servers then?
Well, you got to wonder. You got to wonder. But, I mean, add to that, Fast and Furious, Eric Holder doesn't exactly tell the whole story and basically thumbs his nose at Congress. The Affordable Care Act gets pushed through. Not a single Republican supported it. And that's unprecedented for historically huge legislation like that. You generally get some support from the other party. It ends up being bipartisan. This was not. Then you've got, you know, and in all the lead up to that and the follow through on that, the whole thing of Obama saying, well, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan, you know, not happening. And then you've got Benghazi, you've got what happened there. Well, no, that wasn't terrorism, it was a video. Wait a minute, no, maybe it was terrorism. But you know what? That was like 2 years ago. Come on. Dude, that was like 2 years ago. You keep getting that, and then you got the VA scandal, the NSA is listening in on us. You go on and on and on, and you begin to understand that people are going to start going, wait a minute. Do I trust this government? They're not taking care of things the way they should. Yeah, I mean, you know, is Iraq our problem? Is Iraq the thing that we started? Well, I don't know that we necessarily say we caused it. But here, there's a problem there. Iraq is at least a semi-friendly government, if not friendly to the U.S. They're certainly grateful for what we've done there. And there's a problem there. And we're sending 300 people to analyze and advise, but yeah, you know, we're not going to do much of anything else. And you've got that problem. You can begin to understand. You can begin to see why people might go, do I trust the government? You begin to understand why they might say no to that. And it's not just this administration that things like this has happened. I mean, you know, go back to Bush, Scooter Libby, all that stuff. I mean, you know, you could go on and on and on. But seems to me like something needs to change. We'll keep talking about it as we continue ahead.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.